Lord Father, let us continue as in worship to you. Lord, as we were able to sing your name, thank you for that. Lord Father, I pray that as we look into your word today, that we would see you as a God that is high and lifted up, but also a God that's very personal, a God that's very intimate, concerned with the smallest details of our lives. Lord Father, I pray that today that we would be confronted with who you are, and it would change the way that we understand Christmas. It would change the way that we have this season affect our lives. Lord Father, I pray that today we would see you and we would worship you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You could be seated. Kindergarten through sixth grade, they're making their way to Children's Church. Kindergarten through sixth grade, if you want to go, you can go that way. So excited about tonight. Everybody excited about Landrum's tonight? Okay, me, I am. Some of you are like, I don't even know what to expect. Here's why we do what we do. We believe that relationships are important. And that's why we even have the name Connect. We believe that we should connect with God first, but then God has given us one another so that we can connect with one another. So we connect with God and with one another. That's why it's important for us to have things like Landrum so that we can get together and we can learn. Because in here, I mean, you don't get an opportunity to talk in here, you know, but when we go to Landrum, you can talk, you can laugh, you can meet new people, because we are one family. We really do believe it's that important, so we're willing to invest in that. I know there's the donation suggested on that, but if you can't afford this, the donation, come anyway. It's going to cost. We're renting the place. It's going to cost the same amount if you're there or not. So don't be like, I can't afford it. Come on. We want you there, right? Come on, this is yes. We want you there. We want to laugh with you. We want to make a s'more with you. Yes? We just don't want any kids having napalm. You know what that is, where they set the marshmallow on fire and they swing it and it lands. It's like napalm. It lands. Okay, just watch your kids when you make, but they're going to have those. Eat before you come, but there's going to be snacks. There's going to be s'mores. There'll be hot chocolate, apple cider. A fire's going to be there. They have some crazy house. Hayride. It's going to be a fun time. Ed and Stephanie, they've been working on doing Christmas presentation. They're actually at another church this morning doing the presentation. And we're going to get to see it tonight. I'm excited about that. We're going to get to see that tonight. So there will be a presentation of Christmas there tonight. So come and enjoy your church family. Don't cheat us. You know what it means to cheat? We want you. We need you. And if you're not there, we can't have you, right? And so God puts you in this family because we need one another. So please come and enjoy and just have a good time. John chapter 1 is where we're going to be tonight. John chapter 1. Today. I had a Dr. Pepper in it. I think I'm starting to crash. I might need another one. Anyway, but John chapter 1, we're going to be today. We're going to look at Jesus. And we're going to be reminded that Jesus, he was human. He's 100% human, but he's also 100% God. And sometimes during Christmas, we focus so much on his humanity that we forget that he's God. We forget his divinity. So as we look today, I want us to be reminded that he is God, that he came, yes, in the flesh, and yes, he did limit his power, but he is still God. He limited himself, because nobody else can limit him, but he limited himself as he came in the form of a baby for us, but he's still the same God that spoke everything into creation. Now, some of this is going to be hard for us to understand because we can't comprehend some of the things. For example, we're going to read that Jesus has always been. That's going to be hard for us to comprehend. Our mind can't wrap around that. We're going to see where Jesus, God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, they're one. It's one God. That's hard for us to put our mind around. What I would say is, as we look at the Word of God, as we see this, try to be in that place where you understand this. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And that we can't understand everything there is to understand about God. In fact, for everybody who's placed their faith in Jesus Christ, when we get to heaven, our when we get to spend eternity, that's forever with Him, we will never stop learning things about who He is. He's just that great. And so today, we'll confront some of those things, but in that, let's not limit God with our limited understanding. You hear that? Let's not limit God with our limited understanding. Okay? And so John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. In the beginning, the Word was already there. The Word here is Jesus, okay? So in the beginning, the Word was already there. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through Him. Nothing that has been made was made without Him. Life was within Him, and that life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome the light. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. This is John the Baptist. He came to be a witness about the light. He was a witness so that all people might believe. John the Baptist himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone has come into the world. The Word was in the world, and the world was made through Him, but the world did not recognize Him. He came to what was His own, but His own people did not accept Him. Some people did accept Him and did believe in His name. He gave them the right to become children of God. To be a child of God has nothing to do with human parents. Children of God are not born because of human choice or because a husband wants them to be born. They are born because of what God does. 14. This is put it all together. Take this home. Memorize this. This is a good one. The Word became a human being. He made His home with us. We have seen His glory. It is the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, and the Word was full of grace and truth. What a great passage. In fact, this is one of my favorites when we're talking about Christmas. This is one of my favorites. I know you like to hear some of the others, and you watch Charlie Brown just for that last part where they read the Christmas story, which is incredible, by the way. I love that scene about the wise men that came, and then the announcement of Jesus being born. But John chapter 1 is so good for me. I love it. And I love it for several reasons. It shows and it focuses on how high Jesus is, how He is God. In fact, it tells us over and over in here that He is God. Have you ever repeated yourself to make a point so that people understood? Yes. And sometimes parents, you say, how many times do I have to tell you? Anybody? That hadn't happened? Kid, how many kids have you been told that this week? Anybody? Yeah, okay. How many times did they tell you? 5 times? Oh, that's too many. All right, so I'm backing you up, bro. I got you. All right, so, but God here is repeating it over and over and over again. He's saying, Jesus is God. Jesus is God. And just in case you missed it, Jesus is God. The Scripture's telling us over and over and over again. Again, this is hard for us because we start to see things like this. In the beginning, the Word already was there. The Word has always been. This is hard for us. And let me tell you why it's hard for us to understand why the Word has always been. Jesus, that He's not created, because some people think that Jesus was created. He's not created. It says that He has always been. And so why is this hard? Because everything that we've ever experienced in life has a beginning. Everything. From the chair that you sit on, you're like, I know it started in a factory somewhere. And you know it's going to have an end. It's going to end in a trash pile somewhere. And you think about the universe. The universe, you know it has a beginning. Everybody knows that this has a beginning. And we know that somewhere along the way, there's going to be an end to it. So everything we experience physically has a beginning and an end. And we can really only understand things that we experience. We can't experience something that's, we've never physically experienced anything that does not have a beginning. We've never experienced it, therefore we can't truly understand it. God's never had a beginning. And the only way that we can understand anything is in time, because we've always been bound by time. Always, from the time that we were born, we were bound by time. We can't cheat time. But time is a creation of God. God does not exist within time. He is not bound by time. He does not have to follow the rules of time because He created time. In fact, some people say He exists outside of time. I like to think of it in a different way. Time exists within God. He created time. You're like, well, what was there before time? I don't know. I can't comprehend that. He's bigger than me. He's greater than I am. But He created time. He created space. And then He created all the things in that. And before all that, He was. Now, that I know it makes your brain hurt. And trying to comprehend how big God is should make your brain hurt. Because we can't do it. We can't comprehend that. The Word has always been. And so sometimes at Christmas, we like to think about Jesus as a baby. And the reason we like it, we always think it, but we really like it because He's limited Himself. We like to think of a limited God because we want Him to limit Himself in our own lives. And so we like to think about God as a baby. We don't want to think of Him as powerful, sitting on the throne. We want to think of Him as a baby. A famous saying from Ricky Bobby. You remember who he prayed to? Baby Jesus. So why would he want to pray to baby Jesus? Because God had limited Himself. He doesn't want to think of a God that's powerful. A God that, with a word, thinks that he wants to think of a God who really has placed Himself in the hands of the creation. We want to do that also during Christmas. We want to think about, we love the idea of God in the manger, but we forget that He has always been, and that He has no beginning, and that He limited Himself as He put Himself in flesh. Now, I understand when we're talking about Him, Himself, and that Jesus is God, that sometimes it's hard for us to comprehend things like that, because when Jesus was on earth, He prayed to God the Father. If He's praying to God the Father, and He's praying to Himself. And then sometimes, like when He's going to the cross, not my will, but thine be done. Like, how does that even happen? Like, man, that doesn't make sense. If He's God, then He's praying to Himself, and how? Here's what we see. That God is bigger than we are, but at the same time, as He walked this earth, He walked this earth to teach us truth and to set examples for us to follow. And some of that is why He's praying, so that we can understand how to pray. That's why it's in the Bible, so that we can read it. It can instruct us. It's an example for us. Same thing, like being baptized. Baptism was about washing sin away, but did Jesus have sin? Say no. Yeah, thank you. He didn't. I was just saying, if y'all were paying attention, let me try it again. Did Jesus have sin? No. Then why is He getting baptized? Well, He's being baptized because this is a custom of what would happen. A priest would go into a place to wash in order to be ready to minister. But He didn't have to do that, but He did it as an example, showing that we should follow Him in baptism. And ultimately, what He was saying is, I'm going to die, and I will be resurrected. He did this for examples. He's doing these. Okay, so as we see this, some of it is so that we can better understand how to interact with God the Father. He's showing us as an example. But is it still hard to understand? I would say yes. People a lot smarter than we are have argued a lot longer than we have about how all this works. And what I will tell you is, we will never understand how it all works. And anybody that tells you they understand how it all works, they're lying or they're deceived. We can't know. God is too big. And so kids ask that all the time. Kids ask, where did God come from? Great question. That's a great question. He's always been. And as adults, we kind of have accepted that. But as a kid, that really doesn't answer a question, does it? But He's bigger than we are. And He doesn't need a creator. And He's not bound by time. He's always been, and He is, as I'll always say,
the uncaused cause. He's the creator, the cause of all things. So he's always been. So when we see Jesus in the manger, we should see him as God who was on the throne, left his throne to be put into flesh. It tells us this, that Jesus is also the light. It says, look, he came in verse 4, life was in him, and that life was the light for all people. I love this. This should take the people, the Jewish people, back to the very beginning where it says that God said, let there be light. And there was light. Yeah, that's right. And so physically he brought light, but even more so what it's saying here, not the physical light, because they're going to talk about that in creation, but a spiritual light, that he came into a dark place. It says the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome the light. Light overcomes darkness. Darkness never overcomes light. And so he's come into a dark place. The world was a dark place that he came into because it was full of rebellion. People have rebelled against God. People have gone their own way. And you'd have to agree that all of us have done that. We've all rejected the things of God different times in our lives. We've all hated the things of God different times of our lives. We've all taken taken the throne of God and rebelled against it so that we could sit on the throne. We want to be king of our lives at times. And so if that's true, all of us have sinned. And the scripture says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so when Jesus came on that Christmas day, it really was light shining in a dark place. In fact, without Jesus, there is no light. It's only darkness. There is no hope. Now, I don't know about you, but I like light, especially if I'm walking through the house at night. Anybody, you walk through the house at night, there's a few things. You're going to kick something with your toe. It's going to test your spirituality. What you say next will show where your heart is. You're going to trip over something. You're going to step on something. And if you step on it, if it's sharp, that's going to test you. And then your shin is going to hit something. And you're going to say, who put that there? And it's been there for 20 years. It's just something about you're going to stumble around in the darkness, you know. And so you go outside. You don't have a flashlight. I just got to run out here, put this in the shed. Or I got to run out here and feed the dog, whatever it is. And you step in a hole and you about break your ankle off. And you're like, I've been in this yard every day for a long time. And this is what it is for us to live spiritually in darkness, that we wander through life bumping into things, stubbing our toe, tripping over things, falling, and there's no hope of it getting better without light. And so Jesus came into the world so that we could have light, so that we could see. The scripture would say this. It says that God would be a lamp unto my path, a light unto my feet. Or is it the other way around? Anyway. But there's a light to the path. And I love that scripture because it tells us this, okay? That Jesus not only is going to be a light to the world in a spiritual way, but will be our spiritual light personally. And I love how he says it. A light unto my path. I love this. A lamp to my feet. So watch. A lamp doesn't show very far. I don't know if we have flashlights now, light your whole backyard up, don't you? Anybody, you have those? Anybody ever gone with a lantern, like the old school lantern, trying to walk somewhere? It's a pain in the neck, isn't it? You got to go extra slow. And really, this is what it's talking about. And for those who are followers of Christ, first he was the light that led to salvation, which we'll talk more, but then he becomes a light for your path, the way that you walk. And this is how it works. He gives you the direction for you to take that one step for today. For today. He's not wanting you to try to accomplish everything that you should do in 5 years in one day. He wants to give you the direction for one day. You read the scripture, God's going to lead you, the Holy Spirit works in your life, and you have direction for one day. Jesus put it this way. He said, don't worry about tomorrow, because today has enough worries for itself. That what we have to do is we have to worry about one thing, what we're to do that day, that one step. It's kind of like the children of Israel when they're in the wilderness and God gives them manna. He gives them enough manna for how many days? One day. That's all, just one day. And then tomorrow they're going to have to trust that they will get manna that day. For us,
that we have one step today because he gives us the light for that one step. Tomorrow, we trust that he will give us light for the next step, and then we trust that he's going to give us light for the next step. All we have to do is focus on what we need to do today, our next right step, where he is leading us today. Man, doesn't that take pressure off? All I got to do is worry about what's going on today, that he is the light of the world. First, he created light. Let there be light physically. And then he was light that shone in the darkness for the whole world. And then he's also my personal light as I walk through life. Jesus is the light of the world. This is what we celebrate at Christmas. This is what we celebrate, that he doesn't leave us in the darkness to wander around. He doesn't leave us in the darkness to trip over things and to hurt ourselves. He gives us light for the next step. He shows us what step to take next. Then it says that Jesus is creator. And you're like, well, what does this have to do with anything? It goes back to the fact that he is God in flesh. We want to focus on his humanity, but he is God in the flesh. And I also love this idea. It goes back to the idea in the beginning. Look at that. In the beginning. What else starts that way? Come on, let's go all the way back to what book? Genesis. There you go. Genesis 1, in the beginning. And then it says the Word was already there. And then it tells us that nothing that was made without him. So everything that was made through him. That's what it says. The Word of God. And how did God create? He spoke. His very word created things. And so as the Israelite people saw this, they would see him as creator. They would understand him as the God of the universe, the light, the creator. And it says that he came into this place. In verse 10, the Word was in the world, and the world was made through him, but the world did not recognize him. Man, this is tough. Like, he made everything, and as he comes into his creation, they didn't recognize him. A few people, it says, did, but for the most part, they didn't recognize him. They didn't know that he was the creator. They were looking for something different. They were looking for a deliverer, not a spiritual deliverer, but a physical deliverer. They misunderstood who Jesus was going to be, who the Messiah, the promised one, was going to be. And I would say in our society, in our culture, this happens all the time. And it's not because Jesus is trying to hide who he is. It's not because he is not, in Scripture, not portrayed exactly who he is, that he is God, but that our culture has taken the name Jesus and they've twisted who he is, and they've offered this Jesus that they've twisted, that they've changed to the world, and people accept it. And when the real Jesus is preached, they don't recognize him. It looks something like this. You ever heard this? God is love. Jesus is love. And if he loves everybody, how could a God of love send anybody to hell? You ever heard that statement? It's a twisting of God's word. It's just what Satan always has done. You remember in the Garden of Eden? Did God really say not to eat from this tree? He's just twisting the words just a little bit, but twisting the identity of who Jesus is. Yes, Jesus is a God of love. But he's also a God that is just, a God that is a judge. And that he will judge the world, but he loves the world so much that he wants to rescue everybody. This is where they twisted it. What the world wants you to believe is that you can do whatever you want to do, live any way that you want to live, and that God will still love you just the way you are. So far, so true. But then they will go a little step further and twist it and say, and he will never judge you, and that's not true. He's a God of judgment. He knows the judgment's coming. He knows the wrath is going to be intense, and so he sent Jesus to rescue you from the wrath. It's like this picture. We've fallen overboard. We're in the sea. We're going to drown, and Jesus is the rescue ring or the lifeboat that's sent out to rescue us. Now, if we don't get in the boat or if we don't take the ring, that's on us. But he says, I want to rescue. I love you so much. I will rescue you. And so Jesus is sent on Christmas Day to be that rescue boat to bring us to God. And if we reject it, that's on us.
that God tried to rescue us from our future, from a real place that's called hell. He tried to rescue us from that because Jesus is salvation. Jesus is salvation. And so the world, when they portray Jesus wrong, they make it so that they accept the wrong type. That's not the Jesus that we see in the Scripture. They just gave him the name Jesus. The Jesus we see in Scripture is one that understands the wrath is coming, but that he is the rescue boat that will save us, that he is our salvation. It says here in the Scripture says that there were some in 12, some did accept him and did believe in his name. He gave them the right to become the children of God. Huge. Children of God. Now this part I don't get. This part's hard for me. And here's why. Because I know who I am. And here's what I... If I understand who Jesus really is, this is hard for me to wrap my mind around because he's too good to die for me. I want you to think about it. Children of God. And he makes us children of God even though we've rebelled against him and even though we tried to... We committed treason, punishable by death. And we're not even going to be loyal to him. Like, he brings us in to be his children. We're still not going to be loyal to him because we're going to go after our own passions different times in our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm king, and I know there's been somebody who's rebelled against me, tried to get a rebellion to throw me off the throne, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, all right, I'll tell you what, we can make peace here. And so we make peace and bring him in, and he comes, and I know he's not going to be loyal like he's, you know, he's a little shifty on me. I don't know. I'm not going to make him part of my family. You? Knowing that he's going to go after his own passions and not be loyal to him? I don't know about that. This part I don't get because he brings us in even knowing that. But because of who Jesus is, Jesus said, I vouch for him. Get this, Christmas, Jesus vouches for us. He says, they're going to fail you, but I vouch for them. They're going to be unloyal to you, but I vouch for them. They're going to go after their own passions, and they're going to ignore the things that you want for them. They're going to ignore your word. They're going to ignore your direction. They're going to ignore your light. They're not going to... I vouch for him. Anything they do, put it on me. That's Christmas. All the wrong that they've ever done, put on me. On Wednesday night in our Bible study, we're going through the life of Moses, and through that we're going through tabernacle and some of the ceremonies and things that are going through. And here's this incredible picture. It's a burnt offering. Where the entire offering is burnt up. Nothing's left. It's different from the Day of Atonement, but we hadn't gotten there yet. But in this ceremony, the head of a family would come and place their hand on the head of an animal and would pray and ask for forgiveness and place the sins of the family on that animal. Now watch what happens next. The priest doesn't take the animal, but the man, the head of the family, and we see this in Job's way we understand, okay, Leviticus and Job. In Leviticus, it tells us that after he has placed his hand on the head of the animal and has placed the sin of the family on this animal, the man himself has to kill the animal. And it's this incredible picture that our sins are placed on Christ and we are the ones who have killed Christ. Sometimes we like to be the hero, or every time we like to be the hero in the story. Any movie we watch, any book that we read, we're the hero. We identify with the hero. That's, you know.
And when we read sometimes the story of Jesus as he goes to the cross, we want to think if we were there, we would have spoke up on his behalf. But the truth is, and I know if it was me, if I were in the crowd, I would be one that would be screaming, "Crucify him." And how do I know that? Is because there are times in my life where I have the direction of Christ. I have Jesus. And then I have the things of the world, passions that I want, things that I want to go after, Barabbas. And I have a choice between Christ and Barabbas, and I scream, "Give me Barabbas. Give me Barabbas." So if I know if I do that in my life now, that I would have done it then. We're the ones who place the sin. Watch this. Here, we put the sin on Christ, and we're the ones who killed him. The scripture said, "The one who knew no sin," which is Jesus, "became sin for us." If you look at the Day of Atonement, he becomes our scapegoat, the one who carries the sin. He is our salvation. And why does he do this? So that we can be called the children of God. And so what we see in Scripture is that he came near. In 14 it says, "The Word became a human being, and he made his home with us. We have seen his glory. His glory is the one and only who came from the Father, and the Word was full of grace and truth." Had to be full of grace and truth, didn't he? He came near. He's not a God that's at a distance. He's a God that dwells near. He's a God that's concerned. And what do we see in this passage? He's concerned that we walk in darkness. He's concerned that we don't recognize him. He's concerned that without him, there is no hope. Without him, there's only damnation. He's concerned. He's near. You know, as I was going through this and just studying and looking, and God gave me this, I don't know, just picture for me. When I was growing up, you know, we didn't have as many electronics as kids now. We got outside sometimes. Y'all remember that, when we go outside? Yeah. And when we'd go outside, I got some cousins here, we'd go get in the mud, wouldn't we? We got in the mud, we weren't supposed to get in the ditch, because that's where the snakes were, but you know where we went? We got in the ditch. All right. Not supposed to get in the pond, but we got in the pond. We were just dirty. Sometimes we would come home and we covered from the bottom of our feet to the top of our head in mud and dirt. And this is not what happened. When I walked up, my parents didn't look at me and go, "You're not mine anymore. You're too dirty. You're too filthy. You're never coming in my house." We see in Scripture is this idea says that because of Jesus Christ, that we become a child of God and that we're welcome into his house. In fact, it says that we can boldly come into the throne room of God, into the very most important place. I can't go into different like people's houses. Like, I couldn't show up to your house today and just walk in. Y'all might call the police. I mean, you probably wouldn't come back at the very least, right? That would be weird. I know we all have that one family member open the door, go, "Hello, I'm here," whoever that is, okay? They have that. But I'm talking about their family members, right? But I'm talking about just somebody that you don't know just walking in your house. How about that? Today, you know, just go to the White House and try to just walk in, see what happens. But if you're a child, there was nothing to me just walking into the house when I was growing up. Was that my house? That wasn't my house. That was my parents' house. But I had free reign because of who my parents were. And because of Jesus Christ and who Jesus Christ is and how he's made us children of God, if you're a child of God, if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, we have free access to come in. And then when we show up dirty from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet, he goes, "Hey, you can come in, but we need to clean you up. You're always my child. Come." And knowing that I'm going to, you know, my parents, as they would clean us up and Sometimes it took the water hose outside. Sometimes you had to take your clothes off before you came in. Whatever, I mean, it just, but you were coming in. I mean, you weren't excluded from, but you were coming in. We got to clean you up, understanding that I'm going to be dirty again. But this isn't the last time. And it wouldn't be the last time I tracked mud in the house. And God looks, and some of you may be dirty, and like you say, I place my faith in Jesus, but I'm dirty. I can't come in the house. And the truth is, yeah, you can come in the house. He wants you in the house. He wants you to come home, and He's going to take you, and He's going to clean you up. I guess my favorite illustration of this is a guy I listened to told this, and it's just one that's just stuck. It just, you see, imagine having a baby as you walk into the house and you're walking in for the first time and the baby's all cute and cuddly, and next thing you see is it's got that look on its face. You know this one? And then you smell something, and how weird and crazy and how offended would you be if you saw the parent goes, "What are you doing? You've ruined it. You're nasty. You're dirty. You're not mine anymore." But for some reason, we think that God would do that to us, when God's a better father. In fact, it says, hey, earthly fathers know how to give good gifts. If they know, I know how to do better. And so imagine a picture of just this parent as they have their baby there, and the baby's pooped, and they're taking off the diaper, and they're cleaning. And as you know, as a parent, sometimes it's everywhere. Sometimes it gets all over you. But the only thing you're concerned about is getting that baby clean. But you know this, it's going to be dirty again. But it doesn't stop you. It doesn't say, you're going to be dirty again. So you sit in it. When you're done pooping your pants, when you're old enough finally to learn, that's not what we see. It's this great picture of Christ as He takes us and He cleans us. And then He cleans us. And then He cleans us. And watch, you know how it gets on us? Remember what we said? The one who knew no sin became sin for us. It got all over Him. But it didn't stop Him from cleaning us up. Man, to become a child of God through Jesus Christ, we talked about He is our invitation, but today He is our adoption papers. He's the one that gives us access. And even if you're far off, if you're lost, if you don't know Jesus and you're far excluded, as we hear a lot here, because we were the prodigal son, so many of us, we had run from God and we've wasted His blessings and we had destroyed our lives where we had nothing left and we're living in the pig pens, wanting to eat the pig food, and we finally come home. It says that the Father runs and He takes a ring and puts it on the finger of the son, and He takes those old nasty clothes off and He clothes Him in what we would call the righteousness of Christ. He covers our shame. This is Christmas. That yes, He came. Yes, He was a human. Yes, He lived this human life. But more than that, He is God who sits on a throne, who came to put Himself in flesh so that He could die on the cross, be buried, be resurrected, so that we in our filth could have access to God. Man, Christmas is incredible. Emmanuel, God with us. John 1 is so good. Church, I'd ask that you would stand, and that in a minute you respond as the Spirit leads you. And some of you might just need to come and make Jesus your boss. Some of you might need to come and fall at the feet of a holy God and remember, declare Jesus as God. Some of you might be dirty, like you've accepted Christ a long time ago, but you've been dirty for so long that you don't feel like He will accept you. He will. whatever it is God would have you do, you respond to Him. Lord, I ask that you would work in our hearts. You would reveal to us the truth of who you are, how incredible you are, how big you are, how you sat on a throne, but you stepped down from that throne to live with us, to dwell with us, to tabernacle with us. Lord, help us to see the truth of who you are. Don't let us buy the lie, what the world tells us that you are, but let us see who you are, who you revealed yourself to be. And Lord, Father, I pray for those who made a commitment to pray for us as a church, that, Lord, they would continue to be faithful. Give them strength to continue to pray. Sometimes it seems like our prayers don't make it through the roof, and sometimes it's because we have unconfessed sin. Sometimes it's because we have something against a brother. But Lord, I pray if all those things are true, that you would convict us of that. You would remove those things from our lives. And Lord, Father, that we would continue to pray to you, because we know prayer has power. Lord, we pray for those who are living in the pig pen, who are far from you. Let them see the salvation that they could have today. Let them talk to somebody today. Lord, let them make you their boss today. Church, you respond as the Spirit leads.